You may be seated. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5. Again, that's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14. And the scripture reads, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father." And I want to focus today on the first verse. You are the light of the world. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, we just come to you thanking you for our time together. And now, God, we just come waiting and wanting to hear a word from you, God. Just speak through me, God, so that we can be motivated and inspired by you. These things I come asking in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Wednesday, February 14th, was Valentine's Day, and it happened to be Ash Wednesday. Both of those times are happy, exciting times that are full of love and happiness because we dedicated that day to expressing our love for each other and also for Jesus Christ. But although February 14th was a happy, loving day for most, it was also a dark day because 17 people were shot and killed at a Florida high school just north of Miami. And as I prepared for my sermon today, so many things were going through my mind. I kept thinking of all the lives of the kids that were lost. I thought about their parents. I thought about their families and their friends. I thought about the teachers, and I also thought about the attacker. I thought to myself, how did we get to this point in the world where these types of senseless, ridiculous killings keep happening? And the nature of these killings seem to be worsening. How in the world did we get to this point where we're almost desensitized to things that happen? I also thought about our role as Christians. When it seems like we are doing our best, when it seems like we are working day after day after day in the kingdom of God, what else can we do in a world that seems to be so full of hate and evil? When it seems like that we have sacrificed day after day and have given up so much to serve Jesus Christ and have worked tirelessly to save more souls and bring about transformation so that others can genuinely love others, what else can we do? When it seems like people are choosing violence, hatred, and anger over love, what else can be done? What else can we do? What must we do in order to continue to operate and live and minister within a world that seems so dark? And as I thought about all of these things, one answer came to my mind, and that is we must continue providing light in dark situations. So I want to speak briefly from the subject, providing light in dark situations. If you didn't already know, we are in the second week of the sermon series, The Divine Conspiracy. And this series focuses on the Sermon on the Mount and how those teachings have an emphasis on discipleship and how we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. In this particular passage, Jesus is telling us our responsibility in the world. And in doing so, he has compared us to light and says that we are the light of the world. Oftentimes, when we think of light, we think of it in terms of the physical sense. We turn on the light. We turn on our headlights to see as we are driving at night. And at night, when the sun sets, the street lights come on so that we can see throughout the city. And light is necessary because without it, we wouldn't be able to see. Without it, we would bump into things. We would trip over things. We would fall down. We wouldn't be able to read in dark rooms. We would not be able to see. Therefore, we need the light in order to overcome the darkness so that we can see. Although we constantly deal with the physical light each day, this particular passage is talking about the followers of Christ and spiritually how we should be the light. When Jesus says that we are the light, he is referring to a way of living, a way of life. And as we live our lives each day in what seems like a very dark and cold world, we are still called in all that we do, in the way that we live, and the way that we talk, to reflect that of the original source of light, Jesus Christ. Christ is a source of light, and we should always reflect the life and characteristics of him by providing light in the world during dark situations. Reflection means to mirror. It means to produce an image. And one of the best examples of a reflection is that of the moon. At nighttime, when we go outside, we see the moon shining brightly. And some people may think that the moon produces its own light. But in actuality, the moon is a dark place. And the reason why we see the moonlight at night is because the light of the sun is reflecting off of the moon. And because the light from the sun reflects so well off of the moon, it causes people to think that the moon has its own light. It is this reflection of the sun off of the moon that shows us how we should live our lives as Christians, because we should always live in a way where the light of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, his light always reflects off of us in a way that shines brightly for the world to see. But even though Jesus calls us to be the light, how can we be the light during dark situations? When I speak of dark situations, I'm talking about when there's evil and hatred in the world. A dark situation is when people, our brothers and sisters, are getting laid off. A dark situation is when our brothers and sisters have nowhere to live. It's when innocent lives of children are taken. Dark situations are the social injustices that still exist in the world today. It's when we experience broken relationships. It's when we experience hopelessness and uncertainty and confusion about the state of our communities, our nation, our world, and even our own personal lives. How then can we provide the light in dark situations? How can we continue to live a life that is reflective of the life of Jesus Christ? In order to figure out how to provide the light, we must first look at the source himself, Jesus Christ. How did Jesus live? How did he carry himself? How did he walk the earth? How did he teach others? First, Jesus loved us. So therefore, we must love each other. The Bible says God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans says, "No, in all these things we are more conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ. Ephesians says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. Christ loved us so much that he cared enough to see us again. He died for us so that we may be set free from the bondage of sin. And not only did Christ love us enough to offer his life as a living sacrifice, but when he was here on the earth, he showed love through his acts of healing and kindness to everyone. Therefore, we are called to do the same. Just as Christ loved us, we should love each other. Love is interesting because sometimes our love for others is based on what others do for us. If someone shows us affection, that affects our love for them. If someone gives us a gift, that affects our love for that person. If someone gives us words of affirmation by telling us, I appreciate you, you are smart, you are gifted, you are wonderful, all of that can cause our love for that person to grow. And for some of us, we have grown so accustomed to basing our love for people on what they do for us. But when we are ambassadors, when we are disciples for Christ, and when we reflect the love of Jesus Christ out in the world, that doesn't mean that we get to pick and choose who we love. That doesn't mean that we only love people who love us back, that we only love people who do stuff for us. It means that we are still called to love people who have never done anything for us. We are still called to love people when it's uncomfortable, when we don't feel like it, when it hurts, even in the midst of dark situations. We are still called to love people even when they reject us, when they reject our love, when they reject our support, when they reject everything that we have to offer. We are still called to love everyone. We are to continue reflecting the love of Christ into the world and pray that people recognize the love of Christ that is within us and ultimately turn to him. That is how we provide light in dark situations, by still showing love. Not only do we provide light by reflecting love in dark situations, but secondly, we must also provide light by reflecting mercy. Mercy is forgiving. Mercy is also interesting because if you are like me, I can easily ask for it, right? Oh, please forgive me. So easy to say that, right? But it's so hard for me to do to others. When my feelings are hurt, when I feel like I've been wronged, when I feel like I've been taken advantage of, it's so hard for me to forgive. It's hard for me. Because part of me still wants to hold on to those hurt feelings, right? I want to hold a grudge. I don't care. I still want to be hurt. And then the other part of me, I know y'all aren't like me, so I'm just telling you about me. The other part of me is that deep inside, I want that other person to hurt just like they have hurt me. Holding on to grudges, holding on to hurt feelings and not dealing with the situation, wanting other people to hurt just like you are all things that are not of God. And if I am called to be the world, if we are called to be the light into the world, we have to lead by example, by showing love and mercy. Not only are there examples of Jesus forgiving people throughout the Bible, but Jesus also demanded for us to forgive. The scripture tells us to get rid of bitterness, get rid of the anger, get rid of the brawling and the slander, along with every form of malice. He tells us to get rid of it, but instead be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you. The scripture also says, bear with each other and forgive. Forgive one another. And if anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. There are so many people hurting in our world today because they are holding on to grudges. They are holding on to things that someone has done against them. There are people in the world who are broken because they have been physically, emotionally, or mentally hurt. And when people do not forgive and choose to hold on to all of that hurt and that pain, they become emotionally damaged and may even take out that pain on themselves or someone else. Therefore, as followers of Christ, we must lead by example and reflect the mercy and forgiveness of Christ by forgiving others. We must forgive because Christ forgave us, because we are ambassadors, and through our forgiveness, it will hopefully teach others how to forgive. That is how we be the light into the world. And when we forgive, it brings about healing, not only for ourselves, but for others. Years ago, there was a news story about a mother who was whose son was shot and killed. He was murdered. And this murderer received a 25-and-a-half-year sentence and was released from prison after serving 17 years. But before his release, the mother went to visit the murderer in prison and talked to him and decided to forgive him. It was through that conversation in prison that the mother decided to forgive the person who shot and killed her only child. Not only that, the mother lived in an apartment, and she went to talk to the landlord and asked if there was a place for him to stay. So when he was released from prison, not only did he have a place to stay, but he moved in to the apartment right next door. That wasn't because of the landlord. That wasn't because of him. That was because the mother decided to forgive and extended an act of kindness. She had every reason not to forgive. She had every reason to stay depressed. She had every reason to stay broken and emotionally damaged and spiritually damaged, but she chose to forgive in one of her darkest situations. She chose to be the light in the world by showing mercy in a time of darkness. And because of what she did, it brought healing for herself and for the other person. In her interview, she said, "I did this because I love God, but to also free myself." When we choose not to forgive in our darkest situations, what price are we paying? Holding on to bitterness, holding on to anger affects us. Whether we want to admit it or not, it affects us emotionally and spiritually and physically. So what price are we paying by choosing not to forgive? As disciples of Christ, we are called to forgive and be the light into the world in the most darkest situations so that people can be transformed and healed. In times of darkness, we should provide the light by showing love. We should provide the light by showing mercy. and we should provide the light by standing on our truth. Christ was criticized. Christ was ridiculed, treated unfairly, and had every reason to give up. But he didn't. He stood firmly on his truth and continued to preach about his purpose and salvation and life in him. Just like Christ stood firmly on the truth, I want to encourage you all today to continue being the light in the world by standing on the truth in the most darkest situations. You already know what the truth is because you said it earlier. When times get hard, when times are dark, in the face of adversity, stand on the truth and still proclaim that you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and the earth. In times of darkness, in times of chaos, uncertainty, and pain, still proclaim and share the news that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. That God sent his Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Still stand on the truth. Be the light into the world by standing on the truth and proclaiming that on the third day Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Continue being the light in the world. In times of darkness, when people don't know which way to go, point them to Jesus Christ and continue to proclaim that you believe in the Holy Spirit, that you believe in one church, that you believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That is how you continue being the light into the world. Don't let dark times shake your faith. Don't let dark times allow you to turn away from God. Don't allow dark times to make you go into hiding and to make you stop fulfilling the purpose that God has given each and every one of you. Continue being the light. Continue showing love. Continue showing mercy and continue standing on the truth. Let the church say amen. At this time, I would like, amen. Thank you again for coming to worship with us today, and I hope that you have a blessed rest of the day and week. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide within each of us now and forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen.
Amen.